are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
I recently had a moment where I caught myself frustrated over a very small thing. How many people in here have ever majored in the minors? Like you had like a $5,000 reaction for a 5-cent problem. Like that's me, I've done that for sure. And so, well, my thing that wrapped me up for this, and it's kind of like you're missing the point of what I was really trying to accomplish, I was missing the point. And so this is the thing that got me. This evil swing set. No. I thought I was getting out of all this stuff, but I've got cribs and like baby wipes and diapers and stuff all over my house now with all these grandkids. And so I got rid of a swing set a long time ago. I didn't know I was getting one back. But my wife's like, let's get a swing set for the grandkids. And so I wanted to be thrifty about it. And so we found this conveniently located in Airway Heights, which is a ways away from here. And it was used. And I have restained the whole thing and made it awesome again. And I was in the process of doing that. We have it set up. And I'm just making it awesome. And I wanted to order these rings that were broken for the slide, the spiral slide that was going down. And they finally came. And so I was out there going to fix this up. Because why? Why do I want a swing set at my house? For the grandbabies, so the little kids, River's like, it's my own park. And my other grandkids are like they're going to love this thing, right? So, like, we want the grandkids to come to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And so the joy of them laughing and giggling and using their imagination and all those things. So I was out, this was two Fridays ago. I was out there and I was trying to make it right. I'm doing the extra things to make this thing even nicer, right? For my grandkids. And so I'm out there, and Carrie's trying to help me, and we're trying to put these rings on there. And it wasn't going well for me. I don't know if you know this, but you can turn a big pair of channel locks this way and beat something with them. Really good. And that's what I was doing. And so my wife, she's just kind of like stepping back, and I'm throwing this like hissy fit because the design engineers on this thing, they obviously, and I didn't read the directions, but whatever. I could figure it out. I don't need directions. And so, like, I had this overreaction, and, like, I'm getting worked up, and, like, I could tell I'm starting to steal a little bit of the joy from, like, our vision of what God would have for us over something very small. And I think that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about today in our text. I was focused on the wrong thing. The fact that we could buy a swing set, the fact that we could fix it up, the fact that we could order five rings and they sent us 2.5, doesn't matter. No, like the fact that we could fix this thing up is all great blessings. But I dialed in on something minor and completely missed what actually mattered. See, Jesus isn't talking to rebellious people in the text for today. He's talking to deeply committed, Bible-knowing, disciplined people. People, hopefully, similar to us in our love for God, but are we missing something? And what were they missing? And why would Jesus say the things he says today to them? See, the danger isn't just in rejecting God. That's very dangerous and a very bad idea. But even equally as dangerous is misrepresenting him, thinking that you're honoring him. Not giving a good imago Dei, not giving a good image of what God looks like. And so we're going through this, the woes right now, and this is kind of the fourth of our woes series. We talked about shutting the door in the faces of people who were trying to get in heaven, and then Ben last week had a great sermon. If you missed that, go online, but it was awesome. I know our life group really enjoyed that and got to have some good discussions over that. But why don't you join me? We're going to stand up for God's word. We're going to shake it off a little bit. If you're able to stand, go ahead and stand up with us. And we're going to honor God's word here. And I want you to think about this. And I think about this when I'm reading God's word, especially the words in red, is picture Jesus looking at you. Picture, these are Jesus's words. Picture Jesus looking at you and sharing these things and try and put yourself in that seat and feel the weight of these words. So join me in Matthew 23. Here's what it says. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have participated in the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Thank you for standing and honoring God's word. Can you picture what Jesus' eyes might have been like if he were trying to talk to you? The pleading that you would get it, the pleading that I would get it, the pleading that we would understand what he's meaning. Woe to you, you give a tenth of your spice, your mint, your dill, and your cumin. It's like, we got to go to my spice thing, and you're giving a tenth of your Traeger whiskey dust rub. And you're getting a tenth of your honey habanero rub. Like, you're doing all the little things, but you're missing the fact that you don't even have the meat to cook. You're not even focused on the bigger things. You're worried about all the small things. And these weren't lazy spiritual people. They were serious. They tied down to their kitchen spices, but here's what they were also doing, and Jesus makes note of this. They're using the law to measure and elevate themselves above others in status. That's not what we see Jesus doing. How many times is Jesus elevating himself above others, or do you see a different picture of Jesus? Do you see him with the widow, the orphan, and the alien? Do you see him getting down on his knees and washing the feet of his disciples? Status is not what Jesus has called you to. He's called you to service. Using the law to exclude others, choosing who's in and who's out and who brought the right thing and if they wore the right thing. Like, I love being part of our church where we're like, come on in, this is a hospital for the broken. Come on in, let's work on that together. Making following God feel heavy instead of life-giving. Like, we're not called to make following God feel heavy. It's life-giving. But they're doing this, and Jesus calls out. He says, you should have practiced the latter, doing those little things, without neglecting the former. And so to be clear, this issue isn't about spiritual practices. We should do the little things. But if we lose sight of the bigger purpose, then we're missing the whole thing, and that's what Jesus is calling out. If the practices replace the heart that God is trying to transform, they're just empty words. Just empty tithes, empty habits. See, Jesus isn't against obedience. He's not against obedience. He's against misplaced importance. You should obey, especially when it leads you to valuing the things that Jesus valued. So he says, you've neglected the more important matters like matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And this wasn't a new idea, not to them anyways. Isaiah 1, God says, stop your religious activity and seek justice. And Micah 6:8, you've heard of this, said, oh Lord, what is required of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. How's that going? How's that going this week for you? Were you able to act justly? Were you able to love mercy? Did you walk humbly with God? Did we give a good representation of who God is this week? Me beating a plastic inanimate object with the back of some channel locks probably wasn't what that looked like. And here's where it gets personal, because Jesus doesn't just value justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He actually expects you to live it out. So what does that actually look like for you and I? How would it look like to live out in a just way, to live a life of justice? Maybe you're in a meeting and someone gets thrown under the bus and you speak up and say, okay, well, like, time out, but that's not the whole story, even if it cost you. Maybe it's when a conversation turns into tearing someone else down who isn't there, whether it's a political candidate you don't like, whether it's your boss or somebody else, no matter who it is, a conversation happens and somebody's getting torn down and you don't laugh along. You don't laugh at the inappropriate joke. Actually, instead of just not even participating, you actually shut it down. They learn that they cannot talk bad about other people, whether we know them or not, in front of you. That's not acceptable. What would happen if we were all that way? Who could we talk bad about? That's loving justice. It's choosing integrity over advantage, telling the truth even when bending it would still benefit you. That's justice. Now mercy may be when you don't avoid the guy or gal going through a messy situation, whether it's a relationship breakup or a divorce or something awful. You move towards them. You text them, you connect with them, you pray with them, you lock arms with them. That's merciful. If someone is coming at you sideways, instead of firing back, you absorb it and you respond calmly with the Spirit of God that's inside of you. Maybe if someone it's given someone another chance, not because they earned it, but because you've been given that kind of grace before. How many people in here would be like, I've blown it majorly, I should have got what I deserved. Hugely, should have totally got it. Like, you're lucky to be married, you're lucky that you still have your, but you were given grace and you were given mercy and you were given love. And what if we could hand that out as well as we had received it? That's mercy. And then faithfulness, this other weightier matter. Faithfulness is showing up even when you don't feel like it. Whether you're at home or at work, it always happened to me when I was either going to my life group or if I'm going to going to church, there's always something that comes on. You're going to get it. That's it, Jacob. I've had it. You're going to get it next. When I get out of this car, and you're like, oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Like, when I need it the most, when I want to fight it the most, it's like there was probably something trying to keep you from here today. Keep you from the beautiful worship that we've had. Keep you from having great conversations that we had. Keep you from hearing the Lord. There was something that didn't want you to interact with God today. And you need to overcome that through a spirit of faithfulness. Even when you don't feel like showing up, you're there. It's keeping your word in the small things when nobody's tracking. It's staying engaged in your relationships, pursuing and serving and loving, especially when it's hard and when it's dry. It'd be easier just to be like, new dealer, I'm out. It's opening your Bible and praying when you don't feel anything. And trusting that God is still at work. This is what it looks like when nobody's watching. And this is the kind of life that Jesus says actually matters. See, the Pharisees were careful with rules and how you could view them, but they were a little careless with God's people. May that never, ever happen here. That's not the goal. If we're careless and we made a mistake, it was out of ignorance, not out of intention. And we would want to make that right. So you can be precise in your spiritual habits and still be distant from the heart of God. And the Pharisees were like that. It's interesting, we get to the next piece of this, and Jesus says, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. He he gives them this analogy that is just like, phew. And they would go to Leviticus 11, and they would know, like, oh, this is like clean animals, like a gnat has four legs or whatever it is. It's an unclean animal. It's the smallest of one of the unclean animals. We can hardly see it. Thank goodness we got that unclean animal out of there. And then we have the camel, which is also an unclean animal. How could you miss that? How could you do the tidying on the tiny things in there, but you miss the big point of pointing people to God? You filter your drink so you don't swallow something microscopic, and then you swallow something huge like a camel. So what could that look like today? Maybe you're upset about a worship song or the words of a worship song, and then on your way home, you're harsh with your spouse. I was very, you know, they said, didn't say that right. And hey, like, what are we doing? We're missing things. You correct someone's theology online in your Facebook post, and you get after them, and you're correcting them online, but your very own neighbor really, really needs your help, and you're not there for that. You avoid the obvious external sins because it would make us look bad in here. But you hold on to bitterness and pride and unforgiveness. See, there's a tendency to focus on what is visible. And Jesus is like, you hypocrites. You're focusing on what's visible, but you're ignoring what's actually forming your heart. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law reduced following God to external compliances instead of gut-level internal transformation. I thought this would be a good time for a boat analogy because I like me some boats. Boats are designed, you know what boat stands for? Break out another thousand. Okay, boat owners, awesome, cool. Bring on another thousand, right? There's all these fun things about boat owners. You're like, you have the 2-foot disease. You always want something that's 2 feet longer, right? All those things. Like, but these boats are designed for a purpose. And so just imagine, you see this beautiful pontoon boat. It's a tri-tune. The tunes are polished. It is beautiful. It's got an upgraded stereo system. I don't have this boat. Mine is not like this, but it's got this upgraded stereo system. It's got these awesome floors that are kind of squishy in your feet, and they won't burn you on your feet. It's got this little bar section back there where you could try and have a margarita at 55 miles an hour across the lake. No. It's just amazing. This boat is just absolutely amazing. It's got a custom cover for it. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Spotless. But here's the catch. It's a dock trophy. It never leaves the dock. People walk by and say, that's a beautiful boat, but it never is doing anything in the water like it was designed to do. It never pulls a kid on a tube and launches them into space. It never takes a family to watch a sunset. It never does what it's actually meant to do. And the Spirit of God has a purpose and plan for you to do something that you are actually meant to do. See, Jesus is saying, you guys look alive. You have the long garments. You have the long tassels. You want to be seen, but you're not doing what you're built to do. On the outside, it's clean and impressive. They're disciplined, they're religious, but they're not actually living the life that God has called them to. There's no justice flowing out of them, no mercy being extended unless it was for their gain, no faithfulness in places that cost them nothing. It's that boat that never leaves the dock that might impress people, but it misses its purpose. And a faith that never leaves the surface might look good to others, but it does not change lives. And Jesus has called you here to point people to him, to help them understand what their purpose is and change their life. And at some point, you and I have to ask, are we just a polished up, good-looking pontoon here at church? Or are we actually in the water on mission with Jesus? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. See, and here's an even deeper issue. It's not necessarily about religion versus relationship. It's, you know, religion's not bad. We are religious in here. You are here. You are here. Do you know, you guys know you're in a Christian church service? That's a religion, right? Like we have values that we want to live. We want to be transformed by those beautiful Bibles that we handed out. We want to be transformed by the words we sing as we praise God. We want to be transformed by our neighbors, the people sitting next to you. That God is using those, using all of those things to transform. His very spirit resides inside of you. Do you understand that the spirit of God is residing inside of you? So spiritual practices matter. Church matters. Scripture matters. Obedience matters. But if you're out of alignment with God, our life becomes off course. And we're missing something. And that's what happened to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Doing all of the little things, but missing. They strained out the gnat, but they swallowed a camel. Because you have a purpose. 1 Peter 2:9, here's what it says about you and I. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Do you feel like God thinks you're special? Don't make me sing the song. God made me somebody special. Somebody small. Okay. Like, do you feel like you're God's special possession? That when he made you, he was like, Josh Gray. Man, I got plans for him. Hopefully he'll figure it out. God's special possession. And you're made for a purpose. Not only are you a special possession, but that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. You have a plan. You have a purpose. Not to just exist and suck air and build your 401k and drive a cool car or an awesome boat. You have a purpose, and you have a purpose to do something with your mind and your heart and your mouth to declare the praises of him. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, religion without the heart of God is just distortion. And do we not have distortion? Have we had bad examples of what it looks like? We need to show what it looks like the way that Jesus is describing here, with through justice, mercy, and faithfulness. The Pharisees didn't lose their discipline. They lost alignment. And they started misrepresenting God to his people, making him seem harsh, distant, and impossible to please. That is not who Jesus Christ is, I got to tell you. So what does this look like in our lives today? How do we bring this home to us? And I think you can ask yourself a couple questions that would reveal maybe where you are with this. And be like, hey, what frustrates you the most? What gets you most frustrated besides a slide that doesn't work correctly? No. What frustrates you so much? Is it, could you go through and look at the things that are frustrating you and be like, that's a minor, that's a minor, that's a minor, that's a minor. None of those things are majors. And why am I spending my time being frustrated by these little things in life when I should be focused on praising his name? Is it when someone disagrees with you? Is that when you're frustrated? Political. It's those guys. If they only knew the right way to think. Be real careful about how you handle God's most prized creation, his most treasured possession. Can you imagine a statue being carved for 40 or 50 years and having some things chipped off of it, and it's just being carved and carved and carved and to look beautiful, and you're like, finally finished this beautiful creation, and you and I have the guts to say, like, that's trash, that's ugly, that doesn't work. Like, you gotta be careful about how we're talking about God, his creation, which is you and I. Do you talk more about preferences? Well, I prefer this and I prefer this. Or do you talk about how awesome God is? To be in his creation, to be his people. What is going through your brain when you think about God? And what if we work on putting people back in the middle of it? This week, where we could get practical, is you slow down for someone who needs your time. In here, maybe you're hanging out afterwards and you're praying with someone. Maybe it's at church. Maybe there's somebody that God has placed on your heart right now at this very second. And you have to be severely inconvenienced and spend time with them. Because God has got something special for them through you and something special for you through them. So can you slow down for someone who needs your time? Can you initiate a hard but loving conversation? Can we point people to the truth, but the truth in love? Can you choose to listen instead of trying to win and be right? If every person is an image bearer, then people are never interruptions. They are the mission. So don't trade your heart for a habit. Maybe you're sitting here and you're reading your Bible, but you're still becoming less patient. Like, is it getting in you? Or is it just a checkbox for you? Maybe you're going to church, but you leave more critical than you came in. Are you seeking to be personally transformed? Do you think the Holy Spirit could meet you here today in worship? Do you think the Holy Spirit could meet you here today by your neighbor sitting right next to you? Could he meet you in his amazing, beautiful word? Are you serving, but it's just out of obligation? The passion for it is gone. Those are all warning signs that we're getting off of alignment and we're getting closer to being like Pharisees and teachers of the law instead of going after the heart of God. So if your habits aren't shaping your heart, something is off. So finishing up today for us, Jesus didn't just teach justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He lived it out. Amen? He lived it out. He confronted broken systems. He is for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. He moved towards broken people. People that are like, why are you going over them? They're broken. That's what we're supposed to do. He stayed faithful all the way to the cross and beyond. So the question for us in here today isn't, are you doing religious things? That's not it. The question is your heart being transformed and becoming more like God because of the habits that God has put into your life? So if you're here today, maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've been estranged from him for a while and you want to recommit your life. After the service, we'll have people up here and we'd love to pray with you. But maybe today isn't necessarily about religious activity. It's about restoring a relationship with God that was lost. The God who made you. The God who knit you together in your mother's womb. Psalm 139. He knows you intimately. He knows your pain and your heartaches, and he knows the joy that you've already had. He knows the pain and heartaches that are coming, because guess what? If you're alive today, you have pain and heartache coming. Dig your well before you're thirsty, your spiritual well. Start putting God's word inside of you. Start putting worship inside of you. Start serving him the way that you're supposed to be serving, so that when life becomes hard, you're not distracted. You're not taking off a task. Maybe today you're supposed to respond and you're supposed to admit that you need him. Maybe you're supposed to believe in what Jesus has done, that this isn't this is actually history. It's not some mysterious thing about this guy on a cross. Like, this happened. And he overcame death for you and for me. And then commit your life to him. Say, you know what? I'm ready to start on the transformational journey. I know I'm 50, but I'm ready to go. I tried it my way for 50 years and this is where it got me. I'm ready to make a change. And whether you're in your 20s or 50s or 80s, it doesn't matter. It matters that you choose to be on the journey. So Jesus didn't come to make you better at religion. He came to restore your heart so that you can reflect his into the world. And he sacrificed greatly for that, all the way to the cross. So we're going to take this time to celebrate communion. If you're new with us and you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would invite you to take communion with us. If you didn't grab one on your way in, you can raise your hand, and we got guys that will get this communion to you. If you don't know who Jesus is, then this is not a snack time for you. This is a chance to observe and pray and see what God is telling you. God sacrificed greatly his very own son to the cross for the purpose of us being able to have justice, to act with mercy, and to be faithful. And he modeled that all the way there for us. So the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we remember what you did on the cross. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is coming again. And when he comes, may he catch you doing the things you're supposed to be doing with the heart that you're supposed to be doing it, that you are acting justly. We're not neglecting these matters of that he points out to these Pharisees, that we're engaged in it. Lord, help us to see that and do that, and let's do it in your name. Thanks again, Father in heaven, for this time. Thank you for the people you brought here today. May this word grow in their heart. Your word, your power, your scripture, your text. May we just be engaged in worship, and that we would not be like the Pharisees and the teachers of law. We would not be stuck in knowledge, but we would have the knowledge that would lead us to righteous action, to a transformed heart. I ask you to just transform the hearts of every single person here, Lord. Your spirit be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.